Welcome to the Motherhood Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Lockwood, and on the surface, I teach you how to declutter your home so you can focus on what matters most to you as a mom, which I'm guessing isn't those laundry mountains, dishes stacked to the sky, and the tornadoes you clean up all day. My hope for this podcast is so much more than teaching you to declutter. I record all of my episodes live and in real time so that you can have the experience of a mom friend who gets you and is there for you. My audio isn't perfect, my kids might interrupt us, but the conversations we have are real, impactful, and proof that there are other moms like you that decluttering has worked for. If you want to join me and thousands of other moms for live episodes, go find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Motherhood Simplified and we'll welcome you with open arms. See you soon. All right, everybody, welcome to today's Clutter Chronicles episode with Heather Navarro. She is mom like you who has been decluttering like fast and furious style the last, it feels like it's only been like a month. Heather will let us know if it's been longer than that, but I feel like it's just been like the last month or so that she's really dived deep into this process and made tons of progress. She's done the Purge-a-thon. She's doing 7 days to an uncluttered home. She has less than ideal circumstances. And I tell you that because I think it's really important to remember and to know that there's never a perfect time. And there's always a way to make the things that are important to you happen. Heather's a really good example of this. As we hear her story, you'll figure that out. But the little bit of her story that I know is that she had a baby, she had a C-section, and then within that same week of having her baby, her toddler had an injury, an accident, and she's been decluttering since. Like, her circumstances on paper are not ideal, but somehow something in her was like, I gotta make this happen. So that being said, Heather, let's get into you. And when you first found, you know, the Motherhood Simplified group, what were you, you know, how did you find it and what were you looking for?
Yeah, so I found the group in March. So it's actually been longer than a month.
Okay. Yes, she was silent. She was a watcher.
Yeah, so I found it by, I was in another group and somebody was asking organization questions. And one of the moms was like, you don't have an organization problem. You have too much stuff. And everyone was commenting like, you're crazy. You can't get rid of everything. And the lady posted a link to your group. And I was like, okay, I'm going to check this out, see what's going on. Because I clearly have too much stuff. Yeah. That is my problem. So then I kind of lurked for a little while and just watched everybody. And I think you did a purge-a-thon in like April. So like a month or so in, I did that purge-a-thon. And that, I was super, super pregnant. But that kind of started it. And then, of course, I got put on a big pause for a little while. Yeah. But it was exciting to me because I was like, there's a whole group of other moms who have too much stuff. Like, I thought I was the only person that had a counter piled full of crap every day.
That you're trying to organize.
Right. Trying to find somewhere to shove it and there's nowhere to put it because there's stuff everywhere.
Yeah, that's so funny. My favorite people who come into the group are the ones who are like, I need help organizing. And then they hear that the solution is not to organize. The solution is to declutter first. And then they're like, no, that's crazy. Like, moms can't do that. And then they're surrounded by a whole bunch of other moms who are like, yes, you can, and it will help you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you told us about your first step. So the reason that I say that I feel like it's only been a month with you is because the last like month or two, you've really been going like hard and fast at it. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about your experience with having your baby, what happened with your son, and then what kind of triggered you into wanting to finally do this, like,
Yeah. So when we did that purge-a-thon, I think I focused mainly on like my fridge and my pantry and things like that, that I felt were more immediate. And my thought process was kind of that I would wait until my baby was born because I was taking 12 weeks of my maternity leave. So I figured, you know, I'll be home for 12 weeks. I'll be able to actually do everything then. So I wasn't even really concerned about real decluttering. I was just kind of doing, you know, what would be big impact and not a lot of work, because I felt like I would use my whole 12 weeks and get everything done. Mm-hmm. Well, I had my daughter a little earlier than expected. She was supposed to be born at the end of May, and she was born in the middle of May. So that kind of changed things a little bit. I was home sooner than I thought I'd be, and my son was set to go to daycare throughout the end of May. So then I was really excited. I was supposed to have 2 weeks without my toddler. So I was like, sweet, I'm really going to get stuff done here.
Yeah.
And then, so I came home on a Monday. She was born on Saturday. I came home Monday. And on Tuesday, my son thought my husband was going to the store without him, and he chased him out the door and ran right into the driveway and right in front of my husband's truck. So he was struck by my husband's truck, not going very fast, not at all going fast, thank God. But he did have a pelvic fracture and a hip dislocation and some neck injuries and whole load of stuff going on. So that definitely stopped things. All decluttering and cleaning, everything stopped. We were in Children's Hospital for a couple of days following that. And when we were released, he was in, it's called a spica cast. So basically full body cast from under his armpits all the way down his right leg. So for a 2.5-year-old, he was completely immobilized. He couldn't move. He couldn't crawl. He couldn't do anything. So our life was just stopped. It was taking care of my son and my newborn, and that was it. That's all we did. We put our mattress in the living room, and my family lived in the living room for 4 weeks. He was in his cast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we really didn't use most of our house. We were in our living room, which is open to our kitchen and our bathroom, and that was basically it.
Yeah.
And in that time, I really didn't declutter. I mean, I couldn't. It was a lot just to take care of my kids and keep them going. My husband was working full time. I mean, he took a couple days off when the injury first happened, but you know, he had to go back to work. So it was really challenging just to manage that.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I really was just like, okay, I'm done with this stuff. I'm done with having to deal with this stuff and move it around and try and put it somewhere and try and find a place for it. Because I think back, and if I had decluttered when I was pregnant and not said, oh, I'll wait until I'm on maternity leave, then I feel like the whole cast situation would have been a lot easier. Just not worrying about my stuff, you know, not worrying about the dishes, not worrying about the laundry. It would have been just a little easier, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is such a good point, is that we always think that you never know what's going to happen. And all you can see, all you know is what's going on right now, right here, right now. And we think that the future will have some sort of magical, better circumstances. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but yeah. I'm pretty sure I know what your answer to the last question is going to be, but starting now is always the answer, because that's all you know. You obviously can't go back in time. You don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Exactly.
So you might as well just do it now when the circumstances aren't perfect, because they're never going to be perfect. And
yes.
Your son is okay. So
yeah, he's okay. And he got his cast off. So when he got his cast off, it took him about a week to start walking. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I was just done. I'm like, I'm over it. I'm going to clean. So that was about 6 weeks ago that he got his cast off and started walking again. And so that's why it feels like it's only been a month, because that's when I really was like, okay, let's do this. I got my time cut in half and I'm not waiting anymore.
Yeah.
So that was really when I started just getting stuff out of here. I mean, I've taken so many loads to the dump into the thrift store, and gotten it out of my house, and it's amazing. It's so much easier now.
Yeah. Yeah. And God, like, I can't even imagine having a baby a few days old, taking care of that baby, you recovering, taking care of a toddler who is essentially another baby again. Like,
he was harder than my actual baby because he's old enough to care. Like, yeah. She didn't really care a whole lot what I was doing. Whereas, you know, he would see me up and moving around and get angry because he couldn't get up and move around.
Yeah.
And so that was really difficult because he would start crying. You know, he wanted to do something with me, or like if I went to do the dishes, he loves to play in the water. He'd be mad that he couldn't do it also.
Yeah.
So he was a lot more challenging than my infant because she just slept. She didn't care.
Yeah.
And he is too. He wanted to play.
Yeah. That is so crazy. So after you kind of started getting out of that and he was walking, he was fine. What was your first step? Like, what did you do first?
You know, I want to say my dishes was kind of my first step. So my whole life, I've always just accumulated things because they were free. And yeah. Who doesn't like free stuff? And when I got married, my husband and I bought a set of plates, or was given to us at the wedding. I don't remember. And my sister had a very similar set. And when she got divorced, she gave me all of her plates. I had 17 plates in storage and 8 plates in my cabinet. So I had 25 plates for 2 adults.
Yeah, this makes no sense.
And anytime we have company over, we use paper plates.
Yeah.
So they were useless. And I tried to sell them forever. I was trying and trying and trying to sell them. And finally, I took them to the thrift store because I was like, I don't like these plates anymore. They don't fit my home. These need to go. Like, so I took the 17 to the thrift store. And that felt so good just to get rid of them. I've never used them. I've had them about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I've never used them. I've moved them 3 times. I've kept these stupid plates that I don't need.
You're like, why do I have these? But I think that's so relatable to so many people. It's like, we just get used to having this stuff around that we start to feel obligated to keep it probably forever or indefinitely. And I do remember the dishes were like the first thing that you did because you've had some garage sales, you sold some stuff. And then I remember you getting a Corel set, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I did. I bought my Corel set. And that's what we had growing up. And I told my mom, I was laughing, and I said, do you remember those Corel plates we used to have as a kid? And so I got a nice set, and now I have an appropriate 6 plates in my cabinet.
Yes.
And that's all we have out. And there's 3 people that use plates, so we can do a whole day. And I've got 6 plates to
wash. You're good. And you're good. Nothing bad has happened.
We haven't died.
Nobody died because we had to wash a plate. So I have a question just about something that you said. I know that you, like I said, the last like 2 months have been like, I feel like transformative for you. But what you said is that your whole life has basically been accumulating stuff because it was free. How do you feel about that now? Like, what's your thoughts on free stuff given to you?
So I'm definitely not going to pass up something I need that is free, but if I don't actually need it, it's doing nobody any good to give it to me. So, I mean, we do have grandparents that love to give us gifts, and that is always wonderful, and my kids love it, and it's great. But as far as like somebody offering me, hey, I'm getting rid of something, do you want it? I always consider, like, do I actually need this? Is this a useful item? Is it something I already have, you know? And if I don't really need it, I'm not going to bring it in because then it's just sitting here and needs to go away.
Yeah.
So this actually just happened too. My babysitter gave me some like trays for my son to eat on, like a school tray kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me 4, I think. And I kept them in a drawer, and I think I've had them for about 3 weeks. And I texted her yesterday. I'm like, I'm sorry. I have to get rid of them. I haven't used them. They've been here for weeks. And they're useless. And she's like, don't feel bad. Get rid of them. Go for it.
Yeah.
So it's it makes you reevaluate what you bring in and why are you bringing it into your home.
Yeah, I think that's a really big part of the decluttering process that people sometimes forget about too, is that the influx of stuff coming in is a lot. Like most of the time we don't even realize how much stuff is coming in, whether it's us doing random Target trips or random Kohl's trips because there's a sale or Amazon Prime, or we have amazing family and friends who are generous in giving to us and we don't want to say no. But once you start decluttering, like you said, just like when you go shopping and your mindset about what you're purchasing changes, your mindset about the things that people are giving you changes too. And it actually gets easier to say things like, we don't really have a need for it right now. Maybe you have another friend who would actually use it. Like, thank you for thinking of us. But I think somebody else might get some more use out of it than us.
Yes. And I'm very lucky. So I have two nieces that are exactly 1 and 2 years older than my daughter. So we get tons of hand-me-downs, which is wonderful. And we love them. And I've talked to both my sisters and, you know, just let them know we're not keeping anything that we don't love or will use. Mm-hmm. And what we've done with those clothes that are given to us, but we're not going to use, we find another family or, you know, a church, somebody that will use them and needs them. Mm-hmm. And one of my sisters is a foster parent. So a lot of times she will know of somebody who could use the clothes or who could, you know, find a family that needs them more than we do. So it's good to be able to tell people if we can't use it, we're not going to keep it, because then I feel like if they're going to be upset by that, they can keep it themselves or they can, you know, do something that they want with it. I don't want them to be offended that I'm not going to use a hand-me-down shirt or something like that.
Right. Yes. And I think for the most part, people are receptive to it because they do want to be helpful and they don't want to burden you. And I think sometimes being bold enough to like have that conversation and say no kind of triggers something in them of like, wait, like, but why? And then they get curious about like, why don't you want it? What are you doing? Like, what's so different about you? And I think that's how we get to the root of like, you know, all of the landfills and overconsumption. And anyway, going off on a tangent, but let's talk about some of, before you really started letting stuff go, what were some of the hesitations that you had beforehand? And then as you were decluttering, what kind of struggles and hesitations came up for you during the process?
So I think just in case is something that always is a hesitation, you know, what if something happens and we need these things? And I think getting over that and just realizing, you know, if it doesn't cost a lot to replace, we don't need it right now. You know, if it's under $20 and we can run to the store and get it, I don't need to keep it. If it was special ordered and cost $150, I probably still have it because that's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
So getting over that irreplaceable, like things are not always irreplaceable. You can get a new one. You can find a new one if for some reason you need that item again.
Yeah.
And I was really worried my husband wouldn't be on board. I thought he would think I was just a crazy person going through postpartum emotions and throwing everything we own away. But he has been amazing about it. And he's even taken a lot of ownership over things and, you know, just cleaning up after ourselves a lot more and things like that. So I'm glad that I talked to him about it and didn't just assume, you know, he's not going to like it. He's going to think this is nuts and all that, that I did think he was going to say that. But when I told him about it, he's like, oh, go for it, do it. And I don't really touch his stuff. So his stuff doesn't get moved. It doesn't get thrown away without him. It's not mine, but my stuff and my kids' stuff is really my domain, and I can go through and say we don't need these things, and he's good with it. He's pretty on board with that, so I'm glad that hesitation isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And then as I go through things, I do worry about the cost. I think to myself, you know, I did spend this money on it. But then I always have to just question, is it of that value to me? Just because I spent the money on it, is it still valued at that to me? Like if I were to go into a store today and see that shirt for $20, would I buy it? And if I want to do it, then I don't need it. It's not of that value anymore, mm-hmm. and it can go away.
I love that. I love what you said about the money thing, because you're still, I'm going to have to be honest, like you're still pretty new to like really diving into this. But when you dive in fast, like you have and are, you are able to start asking yourself those questions and answering honestly. I love that. Like, is it still of that value to me? Would I go out and buy this again? Like if I didn't have it, would I even miss it? And if I didn't have it, would I go spend what I originally paid or even like half the price for it? Would I walk into a thrift store and be like, yes, I'm going to pay $20 for that right here, right now? Most of the time the answer is no.
It is almost always no. I got rid of a giant bag of shoes. I am 5'11" and I had like 8 pairs of heels. I don't wear heels. I am way too tall for heels. But at some point in my life, I thought I needed them. And yeah. So when I was going through my shoes, I just had to ask myself, is this something I would actually buy in a store today? If I went to the store, would I buy it?
Yeah.
And usually the answer was no. No, I wouldn't buy it. And so I got rid of a huge bag. I think I kept 1 pair of heels just in case I actually do want to go out. Mm-hmm. I have a nice pair and it was my favorite pair. It was the only pair I ever actually wore out of all of them. So
I love that, because I did the same thing. I used to have a ton and I'm not super tall like you. I'm only 5'5", but I just never wore them. Like I, even when we dress up nicely, I don't want my feet to die and I just don't wear them. But a lot of things we have, and then we think that we need to keep them. And it's a matter of like asking ourselves, is it still of value to me? Probably not. And then let's talk about your husband real quick. Was it your husband? I can't remember if it was yours, but I know your husband has been really supportive of you and very encouraging. Was it him who was like, I'll clean this up because the rest of the house is already cleaned up and he felt kind of bad that it was only his mess?
Yeah, it was something about, it was the clothes on top of his dresser.
Yes.
I would always fold his clothes and put them on the dresser or on the bed, and he would move them to the dresser. And a week or so ago, he goes, I'm going to go ahead and put all this away tonight because the rest of the house looks good. So he did. He cleaned it all up and put it away. And it wasn't a huge mess. I mean, it was folded just on the dresser instead of in the dresser. So that was nice. It was really nice because that was like the only area left in the bedroom.
Yeah.
That looked like that.
I love that. And you are such a good example of what I try and tell people. Like, don't force your husband. Don't give him ultimatums. Don't threaten him or belittle him or treat him, you know, less than. Just do your thing and focus on your areas and get your stuff in line. And eventually he's going to be like, okay, like maybe she's onto something. Maybe I should be a little bit more like that. And then, you know, it's kind of like, it's their idea. Like, he's like, oh, maybe I should put these clothes away because my wife took care of the baby and the toddler and everything else is done for the day. Maybe I can put my own stuff away. Right.
Right. And he's really good about, he doesn't really touch my stuff or he wouldn't care if I went out and bought 5 new shirts. It doesn't matter to him.
Yeah.
And my thought always is just how angry would I be if he took it upon himself to declutter my closet?
Like, right.
I would be curious because he doesn't know what I like to wear, what fits me good. He doesn't know, you know, those things are just not something somebody else can decide for you. And he is really good about like getting rid of things as they don't fit or as they get holes, things like that. So that's not a concern. I mean, I definitely have things that I will just move and put back on his dresser for him or something. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're not my items as much as we are married and share items.
Yeah. You know?
And I think for the most part, I mean, he has his fishing stuff and his clothes and things like that, but he doesn't even have a lot of stuff. He has, you know, he has stuff, we all do, but he's not a hoarder or anything. So yeah. Makes it easier.
I've never actually thought about my husband going through my stuff, like going through my closet, but I did just now. And like my face got kind of hot because I was like, that would seriously make me mad. Like if my husband was like, oh, I'm going to go through your clothes and figure out what, you know, you have too much, I would be so mad.
But right. That's exactly why he puts his own clothes away, because I know where all my shirts are. If I go to get a certain shirt, I know where it is.
Yeah.
If he put it away, I'd be like, where is my shirt? I can't find it. And so he puts his own stuff away because it's his and he's the one that needs it, you know?
Yeah. I would feel violated. Like, get out of my stuff. Like, these are my clothes. We don't share clothes, buddy. Anyway. So the last thing, just one more thing before I ask you the next question that I wanted to touch on, because I think a lot of people relate to what you said too, is feeling like maybe you shouldn't do this, or you don't want to bring it up, or you don't want to talk to your spouse about it because you're afraid of what they're going to think. You're afraid that maybe they might think you're weird, or it's a phase, or you're off your rocker. And I know that you kind of mentioned it to me a little bit, and I don't know if you ever posted it in the group, but I know we've had some back and forth messages of like almost feeling, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know for me it's true, like almost feeling judged. Like, I don't want to bring this up to my spouse because I don't want to feel judged by him, or I don't want him to reject the idea. So how did you start having those conversations with him about what you were wanting to do?
I don't even know if I came to him and said, I'm going to declutter the house. I don't think it was like that. I think yeah. It was more of a, I'm going through the kids' clothes. I'm getting rid of stuff they don't wear. And he obviously was like, well, yeah, if they don't wear it, get rid of it.
Right.
And then like when it came to the dishes, so the biggest things, like I had a mixing bowl set that was like painted and chipped and dented and awful. And I basically was like, what do you think about getting, you know, a set that we actually love? And he was like, go for it. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to get rid of the plates, I said, I think we should get a smaller plate set and all this. And he's like, I've been saying that for years. And it, for some reason, never registered to me that he has. I mean, he has been saying for years, we have too many dishes. Like, why do we have all these?
Yeah.
So then once that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, he's been wanting to declutter longer than I've been wanting to declutter.
That's so funny.
And so, and even the other day he goes, why do we have like 80 spoons? So I now have 8 spoons. And so it's, I don't know why I was so hesitant, but as soon as I told him, you know, the little tasks I was doing, he's completely jumped on and he's like, yeah, get rid of those. And I went through and got rid of, I want to say 26 cups, like between cups and glasses and water bottles.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I put them all on the counter and I said, these are the ones I'm wanting to get rid of. You know, do you have any that you're opposed to? And I think he pulled one or two out of the cupboard even and was like, no, but you can get rid of these ones too. And I think it's just communication. I mean, just, I usually run things by him. Like if I think he's going to care about the cups, or obviously I'm not going to buy new plates without telling him, but just a quick, hey, what do you think about this? And he's been on board with it all. I don't think he's told me a single thing like that I shouldn't have gotten rid of. And I just did a yard sale and just started pulling things out of the shop.
Yeah.
And I sold one thing and he's like, you shouldn't have sold that. And it was my bow from when I shot archery 15 years ago. I haven't used it. So it was
still your thing.
It was mine and I sold it. And he's like, you shouldn't have sold that. And I'm like, well, I haven't shot it in 15 years. So it went away.
Yeah.
But other than that, he has not resisted a single thing. But I do think if I would have just started throwing things away and getting rid of things, he probably would have been like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
So I think saying something is better than just doing it without saying anything.
Yeah.
Even though it is like my items or the kids' items, just telling him, hey, I got rid of a bag of stuff today.
Yeah.
I think easier. And some husbands may not care. Some might be like, I don't care what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just depends on the dynamics, but I do think that it's just kind of a common courtesy thing. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's your stuff or the stuff that you're primarily responsible for, the kids' stuff, but it is kind of just like a common courtesy. Like, hey, you know, just want to let you know, this is what I'm doing.
Right. And if the kids have something that I don't necessarily like, but I know he loves them to wear or something like that, I try to always, you know, think about that as I get rid of stuff. Like, is he going to be upset or is he going to have an objection to getting rid of it? And I mean, obviously, if I think he's got an attachment, I just don't toss it and keep it because it's his home too. It's his kids too.
Yep. That's like, I can never get rid of any of the kids' Chiefs gear.
Yes, it would be Packers stuff for us.
Okay, yeah, you get it. Okay, so then what was your driving force behind really diving into this and wanting to, we talked about it a little bit, but anything else you want to add, like about really wanting to take this seriously and really start feeling that relief in your home?
I think it started to cause me some pretty serious anxiety, which, I mean, it's kind of a touchy subject, but especially being postpartum, anxiety is a huge issue that you can deal with. And when we would come home from work and there would already be stuff on the counter and I had to clean the counter off just so I could cook dinner to have a messy counter again. And then I didn't want to clean it off because I just cleaned it. And we used to, I mean, work really hard on the weekends, usually Saturday or Sunday. We would clean the whole house, get everything put away. And then by Wednesday or Thursday of the week, it was a mess again. It was a disaster because it had just gone. And then I got into not wanting to pick it up and figured, oh, at this point, screw it, I'll do it this weekend. Well, then, I mean, it's just kind of a cycle of constantly, I'll do it this weekend. And who, when you work 5 days a week, who wants to spend your 1 or 2 days off cleaning your house because you didn't do it all week long? And then especially bringing home a second baby, I don't want to spend all my time cleaning my house. I would rather spend 15 minutes a day cleaning my house and then my couple hours at night with my kids because we get home about like 5 and they need to be in bed by like 8. So when you have 3 hours a day, which you have to use some of that time to cook dinner and all that stuff, you don't want to spend 2 hours of it cleaning up after the past 4 days of not wanting to clean.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of had that experience with your first, which was the exact same cycle that I was in with my first two kids and my stepson. So it was 3 kids of going to work, coming home. And I used to joke that going to work was the easy part of my day. Going home was the hard part because I was tired. I had 3 kids who wanted to eat right when we got in the door. And before I could even do that, I had to do the dishes from breakfast and dinner from the night before. And it is, it's a really hard cycle. And then you make dinner and then you don't want to do dishes twice because you've already done them once. And it was, I remember that too, being in that cycle. And it is so hard. And especially like you said, when you're postpartum, especially so early on, you're already susceptible to those things like PPA and PPD. And so I know for me, like after my second, I probably could have been diagnosed with like PPD. But looking back, I think that it was probably a little bit of like baby blues. But then it was on crack because I was so overwhelmed by my home and never feeling like I could catch up and do these little things that, you know, are part of regular parenthood, making dinner.
It totally is. And who wants to wash a pan out just so you can dirty it 2 seconds later?
Yeah. And then wash it again after.
And then wash it again. And so you don't. You leave it on the stove because you're like, I don't want to wash this. I just washed it. Mm-hmm. But then it's harder because then the food gets dry. And it was just a cycle. And I would not even want to look at my kitchen. I would just look away. Like, I don't want to deal with that right now. But of course, you know, you have to do it eventually. I mean, there's no fairies that come at night and clean my dishes for me. So
did you ever do what I did and it got so bad that you were like, I'll just throw these dishes away? I've done that.
I did not. There was a time I wanted to throw my crock pot away. I was just like, I don't need it. I can just get a new one because we had made something and then it sat there for like a day. And I'm like, now I don't want to even touch it.
Yeah.
I manned up and I cleaned it.
It was a crock pot that I threw away. I was like, nope, not doing it.
I probably would have if I could have, but I was just like,
Yeah.
And I don't like to tell a lot of people, like, you don't want to be a messy person. And I don't think that it's necessarily, like, my house was never disgusting. I never had it to the point where people couldn't come in it. Mm-hmm. But I definitely would have to spend an hour or two cleaning it before I would let people over. Like, I don't like to do that. Now, text me when you're 5 minutes away and I'll pick up whatever toys are in the living room and we're good.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And that's how it is now too. Like, if anybody wants to let me know they're coming over, just give me a little bit of a heads up and we're good to go. Like, I won't have to be scrambling or freaking out.
Right. Yeah. Just so, 5 minutes, you can wipe the counter off and you're good.
Right. Put some pants on. No, I'm just kidding. So just because I think it's really important for moms, especially because you are in this phase and I've been there and you've been there, in hindsight, would you agree that, like, these little tiny tasks that add up, like we talked about, like with the dishes or even with like the laundry or the toys that we can't seem to clean up and get a grip on and the piles of stuff on the counters, do you agree or feel like they amplify those feelings of like the hormonal imbalances for you and make you, maybe for me, it made me feel like I was 100 times more of a failure than I actually was. And it wasn't me at all. It was the stuff in my house.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you have so much stuff on your to-do list that you don't even want to look at what needs done, I would just get on Facebook and scroll, because that I could avoid looking at my house and seeing, oh, there's 3 loads of laundry to do and I haven't vacuumed in 2 days and there's 6 loads of dishes that need wash. You don't want to look at it. You just want to ignore it and it's not there. But then you go into your kids' room and there's toys all over the floor. You can't even walk in. Mm-hmm. And so then you go outside and there's toys outside. It just gets to be too much. And then I started to feel like I couldn't handle it. I wasn't cut out to be a mom. I shouldn't be a wife because I can't even keep the house clean for my husband. And which he never made me feel like that. He never did. Yeah. But you still feel those inside because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be super mom and clean and cook and have all these amazing things. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to cook because I'd have to clean the kitchen first. Yeah. Didn't want to do laundry because I couldn't even get to my washer. I would have just a pile of laundry in front of my washer. So I'd just throw it in there and do it once a week on the weekend, spend the whole day doing it. And then you don't want to fold it because you've got 4 baskets of laundry to fold. And who wants to fold that?
Yeah. Nobody
and
wants
it to just, it felt out of control. It felt like I couldn't handle anything. Like, I couldn't keep my dishes done. I couldn't be in control of any of it. And now it's so easy. I don't have 25 plates to potentially be dirty at a time. Yeah. And my dishwasher broke in November. So I haven't had a dishwasher since Thanksgiving Day.
It's your hand washing.
So everything's hand washed, which is not a problem when you've got 3 plates in the sink. But when you have 8 plates and 6 bowls and 28 forks, like,
yeah,
it gets overwhelming. And I don't think that's abnormal. I think that most people would feel overwhelmed by that.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I could even see in the moment. I couldn't see that that was why I was anxious. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that if I just did 1 load of laundry every day or every other day, I would have 1 basket of laundry to fold. I thought having 8 baskets of laundry to fold was normal. And that's what you did. You sat there and complained for 2 hours while you folded 8 baskets of laundry and then had to leave it on your couch for 2 days until you put it away.
Yeah. And you're so right that would be overwhelming to anybody. And it is overwhelming to many. And it's not you. It's not a reflection of you as a housekeeper or you as a mom. Because I felt those things that you said, I felt exactly the same way. Like, I guess I'm not cut out to be a mom. And my husband never made me feel like that either. He never complained. He never was like, you really need to do more. but I felt it. And I have an episode all about this called Your Clutter Needs to Shut Up, because it does make you feel those things, and it's not you. So for those of you guys who are listening who feel that way, know that it is not you. It is not you. Like, any normal human being would be overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that you're trying to manage in your home.
Absolutely. It's just too much. Like, yeah, it's just way too much stuff. Can't be managed. You can't do that.
And you can't organize it. You can't. Okay, so what were some unexpected benefits that you've experienced since decluttering?
One thing that you did in the last, I think it was the Motherhood Simplified Challenge, mm-hmm, was asking us what we are consuming. And that really made me think, like, what am I consuming? Well, to be honest, I was consuming television and Facebook and Instagram and all these things that are nothing. They're literally nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing physical or emotionally beneficial to those things.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't know why, however you phrased it, totally dawned on me. Like, why am I consuming these things? Like, mm-hmm, they're not helping my child learn. They're not helping my marriage. They're not helping the pile of laundry I have sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
And so a huge benefit has just been the realization that I can have a clean home, and I can have very little laundry to do, and I can have every single night when I do sit down on the couch to watch TV, I look around and there's nothing to do. I mean, I could do some deep cleaning. There's certain things I could do, but, like, in all reality, there's not dishes sitting here. There's not laundry sitting here. There's not a pile of shoes by the door that needs dealt with. It's just not there. And I was not expecting to actually get time at the end of my day where I'm looking around like, I can relax. I can sit here and enjoy a stupid movie with my husband and not feel guilty. Like, I used to sit here and feel so bad that I was sitting on the couch watching movies when I could totally go and clean the toilet or whatever it was. I felt so bad. And now I'm able to focus on my family and focus on what's actually important. Yeah. And I think it's just made me a better mom and better wife. And I'm able to actually get on the floor and play with my child because I don't feel like guilty that I'm sitting on the floor playing, making a mess, because it'll take me 5 seconds to clean it up.
Yeah. And you can actually enjoy that time instead of being like, like, everything's already a mess. Like, let's not get more stuff out.
Right. Exactly. When you already have toys all over the floor, you don't want them to bring out more toys to play with. You want them to put away the stuff that's already out.
Yeah. I love.
I feel like the pot and the kettle comment I made yesterday was so true for me, because I felt I couldn't teach my son to pick his toys up the second he was done playing with them, because I wasn't doing that. Mm-hmm. I was leaving stuff out. So now, I mean, he's 2. He doesn't understand, like, well, mom, you left your stuff out. But it's true. I mean, I can't tell him to go put his stuff away when I have my shoes sitting in the middle of the floor or, you know, something like that. And it's just easier, I guess, to show him. And he does love cleaning, so he's a good little boy.
Yeah. And it is confusing for toddlers too, because they don't understand it. They're very visual. They can't understand it. And they're like, wait, do we clean up before we play or after or both? Or what are we doing here?
Right. Exactly. And who wants to be like, well, we can't play with your blocks because we have to clean up all your cars. Like,
Yeah. So, and just one more thing that I wanted to talk about too, because we talked about it, just you and I, but when we got rid of all of our clutter, one of the craziest things that happened, and you're experiencing this too, was like, we would get to the end of our day and have nothing to do. And it was the weirdest thing ever. Like, it feels so weird. You're just like, okay, like, what do you want to do? And I told you, but my husband and I watched the entire season of Friends start to finish. And, you know, we talk about like, oh, we're wasting so much time like watching TV and stuff. And then of course, when we get time, we're like, let's watch the whole series of Friends. But it wasn't really, it wasn't the series. We weren't watching it to, you know, distract ourselves from the things that we were avoiding. We were watching the series together because we finally had time to do something. My husband was, he had already seen them all. I hadn't seen a single episode. So he was like, you need to watch these with me. They're funny. And so it wasn't so much that we wanted to watch TV just to like zone out and avoid our life. It was because we wanted to do something together that was fun and we both enjoyed. And it was the, it, like you said, it was like the weirdest thing. We're like, okay, kids are in bed. It's like 8:30. We're not tired. What are we supposed to do? Like,
yeah,
I don't know what to do.
One thing, my husband loves to play guitar. Mm-hmm. And I love to listen to him, but I would never go sit with him and just listen to him play because I felt like I needed to be doing things.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I can, he likes to play on the back porch, so I can go out in the yard and sit with him or, you know, play with the kids in the yard while he's playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much getting out of the house anymore. It used to be like, get out of there, I don't need to look at it. And then while I would be outside, I would just feel so anxious about the mess that I needed to clean or the laundry that needed to be done or things like that. Now I can just sit there and enjoy it and just watch my kids play and watch my husband play guitar and just hang out and just enjoy the moment, mm-hmm. not worried about the house.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it so that you can, I have an episode on a Friends podcast talking about marriage on the 19th that will come out, but it's called On the Brighter Side, her podcast. But the title of the episode is something along the lines of taking the focus off of your stuff and onto your relationships. And as moms, that's the relationships with our kids. And if we have a spouse or a partner, with our spouse or our partner, and it really does. Like, you end up with this huge amount of time and energy to be like, I have no excuse not to pay attention to you anymore.
Right. And who wants to feel like they can't go just watch a show with their husband for fun? Like,
yeah.
You want to be able to sit down and watch a movie and enjoy the movie and not, you know, stress out because there's stuff to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a really big misconception that moms, and especially moms in, you know, really busy seasons of life with small kids who are married, they just kind of accept this idea that one day you'll get to hang out with your spouse again. And it doesn't have to be one day. It can be right now. You can do it.
Right. And I'm still decluttering. I mean, I have a lot left that I can declutter, and I'm kind of going through areas for the second or third time.
Mm-hmm.
I went through my bathroom not too long ago, and I'm about to do it again. Actually, today I'm going to go through it again. And there's still stuff to get rid of. So it's not like at the end of the day, I have nothing to do. I know there are moms that are at that point where they have nothing to do, but it's not glaring issues for me anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not a pile of dishes in the sink. It's not 8 loads of laundry to do. It's not an unvacuumed house. It's not issues that are debilitating to me. It's, yeah, I could go through that again. But right now, while my husband is home, while the kids are asleep, I just want to have a conversation, or I want to just sit here and watch a movie.
Yeah.
It's not like I can't sit here and do this because I have 8 loads of laundry to fold or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think is a good distinction of, I'm not done decluttering. I am still doing that. I am still in the process of getting things out of my home that are not serving my home. But even once you get the, you know, one good sweep of your house done, mm-hmm. that can change everything. That is a huge deal. And like, I just went through and redid my daughter's clothes, and I had like 200 pairs of socks. She is 2.5 months old. She does not need 200 pairs of socks. That no. It's summertime. It is hot here. It's like 90 degrees. She's not wearing socks.
Yeah.
She doesn't wear them.
Even if it was winter. Winter in Idaho isn't even that long.
She doesn't need 200 pairs of socks. That is more than a pair a day. She could just wear them, throw them away.
Like, yeah.
She doesn't walk. She doesn't crawl. They don't get dirty.
Yeah.
But the first time I did her clothes, I didn't even touch the socks. There was so much other stuff to do that wasn't even on my radar. And then this time, as you go through things, I found this entire thing of socks that needed to go away. And
yeah,
it's not something I'm done with yet. And I don't know that I'll ever truly be done getting rid of things, but you can prioritize at that time when the actual chores, I would call them, are done. You can relax and you can enjoy the time that you have with your family and not be anxious or depressed or stressed out because of the things you haven't done today or the things that are on your to-do list that are never going to get crossed off because you don't want to do them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You are such a good example of what this process, and that's the whole purpose of doing these Clutter Chronicle series, is showing what the process actually looks like. It's not, you don't get it done in a week. You don't get it done all at once. You don't declutter for one weekend and then you're done. It's a process and it goes in layers. And like you said, you do a sweep through of your house and you get that relief. And then because you've done a major sweep through, it starts to expose other areas that next time when you're ready to declutter again, that you focus on, like you said, didn't even touch the socks the first time, probably because they weren't super relevant. You got the other stuff. And then once that was cleared out, all of a sudden the socks were relevant and you realized they need to go.
Exactly. This time I was like, oh my gosh, I have way too many socks.
Yeah.
And yeah, another thing that I apparently hoard is blankets.
Oh yeah.
I have like 27, I think, baby blankets for my son. He uses 3.
Yeah.
He has 3 that he loves, 3 that he uses. I will wash them. 2 of them are identical. They're the exact same blanket. And then he has another one. So the blankets, like, who needs that many baby blankets? And you don't, you just don't need them. And so I donated them to a little shelter place in my town and they will give them to other parents who can use them and love them. And their kids can have their own blanket. I don't need 27 blankets for my 2-year-old.
Exactly. I just kicked over my light. Sorry. But yes, you are right. You are right. Especially with the blankets. I think pretty much every mom has had about 27 blankets at one time. And it was like, why do I still have these? Okay. So last question for you, Heather, is what would you say to your family and friends who are on the fence about whether decluttering is right for them or not?
I definitely think you should try it. I know that you talk a lot about like box items up that you don't use and put them away. Give yourself a month or two without those items. If you go to get them, definitely you need them or you want them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just put the plates in a lower cabinet or an upper cabinet if you're short. So you only have however many you need out. And I know you guys do one set per person, mm-hmm, and I have 2 sets out per person.
Mm-hmm.
I've not yet had all 6 of them dirty at one time.
Yeah.
But I do have the ability to have lunch and dinner all dirty and do them at the end of the day. I haven't yet done that. So I might try to go down to just the one set.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's important to see that you can do it without all those extra plates. You know, yes, you don't need those. And I have a hard time with toys. I know that you have said, like, with toys, you'll box them up. And if your kids ask for them, you know, get them out. Well, my son's too young to really ask for them. So that's hard for me. But what I've done is I'll put them up. And if I think to get them out, I can pull them out. If I'm like, oh, you know, he'd really like to play with this toy or whatever. So trying it, I think, is just a huge thing. Is you can try it, and if you really don't like it and you really don't want to declutter and you don't like having a clean house at the end of the day, get your crap back out and put it back on the floor. It's fine.
Yeah.
You can do that.
If but you if, really like your laundry mountains that make your life suck, go ahead and bring them back.
Exactly. If you are like, you know, I really miss spending my entire Saturday washing clothes and folding them, and I really miss forgetting that I have laundry in the washer and smelling like mildew, by all means, go back to it. That's fine. I'm not going to judge you. I could care less about what your house looks like. if you want to do that, go for it. But if you just try it, just do a trial run.
Yeah.
Lock your stuff up, put it away where you can't see it.
Yeah. I love that. And
I think that that's honestly the easiest thing. When I first went through my closet, I did like the easy things, you know, things I just instantly knew I could get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did another bag of like my questionable things.
Mm-hmm.
And I put those just in the bottom of my closet. And after, I think it was 3 weeks, I just got rid of it because I couldn't remember what was in there.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly couldn't remember what I had in there.
Yeah.
And I think that that's true for most people. I really don't think you would remember what you boxed up.
Mm-hmm.
But in your mind, because you can see it, you're like, I can't live without this shirt. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to wear one of your other 98 shirts that you have. Like,
yes.
You're not going to be naked. You're not going to walk around with nothing on.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a mental block of, well, what do you wear? Mm-hmm. I wear the same things I've always worn. I just don't have to dig through the other things that I've never worn to get to them.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. If it's in front of you, you see it, you want it, you have to have it. And honestly, you don't. You won't even miss it. You won't even be able to remember what it was.
No, you won't. And I took, so I just had a yard sale. I took 2 carloads of stuff away, whether that was to the consignment store, the donation center, or the dump. Two, and I drive a big minivan, 2 full vans of stuff away.
Yeah.
I could not tell you what was in it.
Yep.
I know that there was a baby jumper, and other than that, I couldn't tell you.
Clutter amnesia.
I don't know what was in it. And my son did save one thing out of the pile, and it's like a cookie jar that's a shark, and it makes a noise when he opens it, so he loves it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I remember being in that pile because he saved it out of there,
yeah.
And I allowed it. But other than that, it's all gone. I don't know what it was.
That's it was funny.
2 carloads of stuff just gone.
Yeah, that's so funny because across the board, everybody says that. I don't even remember what it was.
Nope.
So much. Well, Heather, thank you for talking with us. Your story, I know, is going to be super helpful for so many moms. It's so relatable, and it's such a clear picture of what this process really looks like. So thank you for doing this with us. And everybody on Facebook, we'll see you around in the group because we're still doing the Purge-a-thon today. You have the rest of the day to finish it up or whenever else you want to finish it, but we'll see you guys later. Bye. All right. So I'm hung up on Facebook, but thank you for doing this. This was a lot of fun and I couldn't really see a whole bunch of comments. I don't know if they have questions, but I'll go back and look through it, but thank you. I love
you.
And as soon as I hang up, I should be able to get this episode up today. Might not be until tomorrow, but once it's up, I'll let you know and then you can have your link.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friend. Did you love this episode? If you did, I would love if you took a screenshot of it and shared it with somebody else. Okay. The whole point of this is to create a community of moms who get each other, who support each other, and who, when they find something that helps them, they share it with somebody. So I would love if you shared this podcast with somebody, with maybe just a little note about how it helped you or how it inspired you so that it can help somebody else. I would also love it if you left me a review. Leaving a review lets me get better stats on the internet and blah, blah, blah. Basically, it helps me help more moms like you. I would so appreciate it. If you hated this episode, I'm sorry, but I'm also kind of impressed that you listened to it all and you're still listening. So still leave me a review, still share it because I'm sure somebody can benefit from it. I'll see you guys on the next episode.